Welcome to T.S. Wright Speaks, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. So glad you could join us today, and if you haven't already, hit that follow subscribe button, give us a like. So, guess what? We are going to dive in to a new series that we're going to do, and this will be during the week. This will be separate from our Sunday sermon series on the book of Revelation. Right now, we're going to dive into the book of James. Now, James is an interesting book because it is actually, by a lot of scholars, the earliest writing of the New Testament. Some say, a lot of scholars believe that, obviously, this was James, and he was the half-brother of Jesus. So, if that is the case, and I believe that it is, that gives us some interesting insight because he lived with Jesus. He would have been around him more than even what the disciples had been because he had known Jesus before all this. He would have. And so there are things that he would have. Some people call him James the Just, all right? And it's kind of interesting because this book is really written to a Hebrew audience, all right, of that day. Because there were, and the reason they think this book was written so early, because there are pieces and things that are not included in here that had it been written a little later, it would have been inferred and included because he didn't mention certain things that didn't exist yet. That's why. So they think this was written sometime in the 40s, somewhere between maybe like 43, 44, I've seen, all the way up to about 49 AD. So that's not that far removed from when Jesus would have been there and after he had just died. So this is early on in the movement. And so I think it's important that we understand that. But anyway, interesting audience, obviously talking to a very Hebrew audience, talking to and having his followers and speaking in a way that was more of wisdom level teaching, almost like a Proverbs of the New Testament. It's not necessarily the stories like we get in the Gospels in the book of Acts. And some of the type of theology, especially what Paul gets into, this is a little bit different. Okay. It's just written differently. James is a very different book. And it's really a lot of times called the Proverbs of the New Testament. So we need to think of it in that way, and that'll help us understand. As a matter of fact, there's been some suggestion at times. Matter of fact, Martin Luther, yes, the guy that is credited with starting the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, he didn't really like the book of James because he thought it was in conflict to a lot of the theology of Paul. However, I will tell you that it's just written in a different way because it's really talking more, all right? It's more about how we align, how our faith should look. It's almost like a checklist. So if these things, if we're living out these things, that's a good indication that we have the faith that we're supposed to have. That's really what this is. Where Paul's talking more theological and giving us positions to understand that. So it's a lot of it is, it's positional authority is a way to think of that, positional theology. Paul gives us a lot of that. Okay, and he gives very practical things too. He has too many writings not to have both. But for us, this is all about kingdom practice, okay, and what that looks like. So I'm going to give you a lot of different angles to look at James, and today we're going to focus on this one. We're going to look at 12 parallels between James and Jesus. I think those are important. So what we're going to do is we're going to start in James chapter 1, verse 2. All right, and this is the first one. This is the first idea, these 12. James 1, 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The parallel is Matthew chapter 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you. So the idea here is that there are trials and persecutions. Those are grounds for joy because they build future rewards. They really do. They're going to build future rewards for us. The second idea, all right, here we go. Number two, we'll start with James 1:4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, we're really talking about a spiritual maturity here, all right? And, you know, as we're walking through discipleship, discipleship has a few goals. One of those goals is spiritual maturity and to learn to become complete, all right, in Christ. That needs to be kind of a primary goal of discipleship, all right? It definitely needs to be one of them. All right, the third one, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given unto you. So confidence in prayer and God being a giver, he's going to be generous. He's going to give you what you need. And when you ask for it, if you ask according to his will, you will receive it. All right. So remember that. It's really a faith application given through prayer. All right. Number four, James 1:6. Ask in faith with no doubting. Mark 11:24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Faith as the necessary part of prayer. So that kind of relates to the last one, all right? But this faith is such a big piece, and we need to be exercising our faith muscles in prayer, and that we need to be asking God according to his will to do the things of his will, and asking God to give us what we need, regardless of what that is, to be able to carry out that will. And he will give it. Wisdom could be one of those things. It could be resources. It could be a lot of things. Knowledge, connection to other people that can help us. So those are all things that you could ask for, and God will provide that. 5, James 1:9-10. The lowly exalted and the rich humbled. Luke 6:20. Verses 20 and verse 24. Blessed are you, poor. Woe to you who are rich. Basically, it doesn't mean if you have money, you're excommunicated from the kingdom, all that stuff. That's not what this is saying. But what it is saying, it's the reverse of worldly status in God's kingdom. We are not to approach the throne by trying to make ourselves rich here. If we are given a lot of provision here, that's great. But we need to use it to build God's kingdom. That should be the focal point of everything, regardless of what our resources are. But it also shows that God does not measure us, and that's really the key here. He's not going to measure us by our worldly riches. All right, number 6, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Blessing promise to those who endure testing. That's really what this is. You are given blessing for enduring tests. So when we feel temptation, when we're walking in those things and those fleshly things are attacking us, and we choose God's way and we obey him, there's a blessing in that. Remember that. There is a blessing in that. Number 7, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Matthew 7:11, your Father in heaven gives good things to those who ask. God is always the source. Remember that. He's our source. He's the one that's going to give that to us. All right. Number 8, James 1:19, quick to hear and slow to speak. Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine, that means hearing God's word is foundational. All right, it is the premise of everything we do. It's the premise of discipleship. It's the foundation of our lives, period. It's hearing his word, and it's taking it in and absorbing it. And what I mean by hearing is not just like listening, it just kind of goes into the ear. I'm talking about processing it, all right? And that's really the way we should understand hearing here and the way it's the context in which it's given. Number 9, James 1:20. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Matthew 5:22, warning against anger towards a brother. Anger can be very destructive spiritually and physically, by the way. It can have physical toll and emotional and all the other pieces and relational if we don't handle it right. There is a time to have righteous anger, but it does not need to last. It should be temporary, and it should be eventually let go of. Anger is something we got to learn to let go of, and we got to give that over to God. All right? So remember that. Number 10, James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. So we take it and we process it. Okay, now it needs to come out. Matthew 7:21-24. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but the one who does the will of my Father. So our real faith, true faith, means that obedience is going to follow faith. All right? As we put our faith and our belief, our obedience, our action should follow that. That's exactly what that's saying. James 1:23-24. The mirror illustration. All right? We don't want to look in the mirror and forget what we look like and be double-minded. All right? We don't want to be that forgetful here. All right? Just remember that. The foolish man who hears but does not act. All right? So we know the truth. We have it. And then we don't obey it. And then we, for some reason, feel okay with that. That is, you are being deceived. You are deceiving yourself. All right? That's self-deception in a way. It's the easiest way to think of it. And then number 12, James 1:27, pure religion, care for orphans and widows, all right? Matthew 25:35-40, caring for the least of these. True righteousness expressed through compassion. And I would just say this, it's not just widows and orphans, but it's kind of what the representation of that. We've got to show mercy and compassion. That's where righteousness is, no matter what. We have to show mercy and we have to show compassion. So we're going to stop there for today. This kind of gives you an intro to this, to the book of James, and it gives you some parallel of Jesus and James. And the point is that James loved to express the teachings of Jesus, and he is expressing them. And this book was written early, so he's not far removed from when these things are being talked about. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. James 1:22. I want you to take that in. All right? And then Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it. And we look forward to having you back on the show, being part of this kingdom, T.S. Wright Speaks community, listening to our message and sharing this message with others. God bless you. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day.